Girls on Games podcast. My name is Leah. I'm your host for this evening, and we've got a wonderful cast for you here today. So glad y'all came to hang out with us. It's going to be awesome. It's a girls' night. Yeah! I know. Everybody comes in, and they're like, Girls on Games, and it's like, should be all girls. But no, we got guys that hang out with us, too, and we love them. We love them, don't we, Simon? Is the voice of God there?
Yes, it is. I don't know. Do you like guys? I mean, you're married, so technically, I guess you do.
But yes, it's a wonderful, wonderful August evening here in Montreal, and we've got a bunch of girls to talk all about video games. First on the panel is Miss Catherine. Catherine, how are you doing?
I'm good. I'm getting over a cold. I have allergies. If I go off frame, I'm sneezing. Just saying.
Okay, it's all good. We don't mind that. Bianca, how are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Very, very good. Thank you for joining us this evening.
Yeah, my pleasure.
And for those of you who are regulars on the cast, you're probably wondering who that other beautiful face is. That is Miss Genevieve Saint-Ange, and she is the brand manager for Square Enix Montreal. Genevieve, thank you for coming to hang out with us here today.
Thank you for having me tonight. It's great.
Awesome. So I just announced what you do for a living, but how did you get into games? Give us a little detail on yourself.
So I've been doing this for about 6 years now. Crazy thing, I had no idea working in games was actually a possibility, kind of like the movie industry, you know?
Yeah.
I come from the most boring academic background. I did a bachelor's degree in marketing, and mm-hmm. I had no idea what I wanted to do, but I always played games. And so when I got my first serious adult job, I applied at a bunch of places, and mm-hmm. one of the places that retained me was Frima Studio in Quebec City, and I didn't know anybody, but I was very lucky. I guess it's my passion for games that spoke for me at the interview, and it was a very entry-level job, so they were very nice to get me on board. They gave me a shot, and for 3 years, I worked with them building kind of the marketing department there and launching their IPs and stuff and building the team. We went from one person, me, in marketing to four within 3 years, and then Square Enix Montreal, I'm giving you the very, very short version of everything because it's
good.
A long story. But 3 years later, Square Enix Montreal kind of did their mobile shift, and yeah. I have published games from PC to PS4, PS3 back then, and the Vita game as well when it came out, and Facebook and mobile and all kinds of games. And then Square Enix Montreal just did their shift in 2012 to mobile, to 2012. I'm in 2014 now. Woo, timeline. And so they had nobody left in marketing, and they saw my profile, and Patrick, the head of the studio, kind of coached me from Quebec City. And I built the entire marketing team again because that's what he wanted me to do. So I did this entire marketing and publishing thing solo for 2 years, and then I hired Nick, my favorite human being in the company. You probably saw him on Twitter. So hi, Nick.
Oh, Nick is the one that reached out to us. So no way, we heart Nick.
The sweetest.
We heart Nick.
Oh, yeah. Awesome. The first time he reached out to us was when he worked for Migs. And then at one point, he sent me an email. He's like, yeah, I work for Square Enix Montreal now. Do you guys want to play Go Games? And we're like,
yes.
Perfect. He's the best. So he joined us last year in May, I think. So he helped me launching Lara Croft Go and then all the variations we did of other Go games, and then Hitman Sniper as well, and then he's the sweetest. And then we recently hired a marketing director to kind of help with the entire structure and the forecasts and everything, but I have a now much more rational schedule and like a good healthy schedule. I no longer do everything on my own, which is fantastic. So that's great. No, and we just released Deus Ex Go. I'm in between right now, Gamescom, coming back from Gamescom, launching DX Go, to going to PAX in 2 days. So I'm a little, but it's great. Everything's going fine. So that's kind of my story. That was a very express story of my background.
That's awesome, though. And I love, and this is more we'll get into later when we talk about, you know, the details, being a woman getting involved in video games, but coming from a different background than just game, like dev, being a coder. Because, like, that's the cool thing, because you don't necessarily need to code to work in games.
No, exactly. And I think, again, what gave me a shot in this industry is how much I loved games and how that's really my core passion, right? If I had just been applying at random places because I wanted just any job, which was kind of the case back then, but I wanted none of that. When I really got this kind of epiphany and illumination for, oh my God, this is really what I want to do, when I first met with those people, because I had no idea. When you're in school, nobody tells us, oh, have you heard about video games? Like, that's a serious career path. Most people are like, no, will you please stop playing video games because you're wasting your time. That's the biggest lie ever, because I spent so many summers in my teenage years playing around in level editors and being a part of a community that I won't name because it's kind of embarrassing, but I was a moderator on the forum for like 12 to 16 building levels in a really weird tile set based game about rabbits. Probably people who are going to connect the dots. We talked about this offline a second ago. But that was really helpful because, again, it like shows you how to do a little bit of level design and how to play around with games. And then I didn't code or anything. I want to learn. That's something I really want to learn. But you don't have to go the traditional path to get in games. That's all I mean to say with all those words that I'm kind of going nowhere.
I love it. This is going to be awesome. What an evening to have. All right, ladies. We all been playing games the past week. I want to know what you've been up to. Jen, we'll start with you. What have you been playing?
Because I've been traveling a bunch, the game that's been saving my butt, because I forgot my Vita when I went to Germany, and that was a huge mistake.
What? No.
You know, I've been playing Reigns, the game that Devolver Digital has published on mobile. Essentially, it's using the Tinder mechanic, but you're a king and kind of building your kingdom, and it's a deck of cards that you choose left, right for yes or no decisions. And it's really good. It's like $3 on the App Store. It's really worth it because the goal is to reign as long as possible, but you get all those challenges of getting poisoned or getting like the gout, or you grow of old age and then you can't make sensible decisions anymore. And then you die and you start over again, but it's very quick and fast paced and it's really funny. So props for them. It's really good.
Nice. You're getting some reprimanding from folks in chat about not having your Vita with you.
I know. I forget it all the time.
Vita Island, you've got to be part of it.
I know.
Bianca, what have you been playing?
Very, very old games. I've actually been going through Final Fantasy X and Kingdom Hearts 2.
Jesus.
Oh, wow. Yeah,
so,
classic.
The old games, I guess.
Awesome.
But not quite retro.
And you were playing Final Fantasy X on stream the other evening. How was that?
It was awesome. Well, yeah. The first time, because it's the HD remaster. And
yeah.
The last time I played this was, 12, 15 years ago when it came out. And so the HD remaster actually brought me to tears. I cried on stream. No regrets. I cried on stream because it was gorgeous.
Did you hit that moment in the lake with Tidus?
No, at the beginning, no, when I opened up the game for the first time on the
Oh my goodness, really?
I started the application and I pressed play to start 10, and just the opening where they're all sitting around the campfire, and I just like was bawling my eyes out.
Oh man, the memories, they're real.
I know during the stream we were talking about how it came out, we thought that was like the pinnacle of 3D graphics.
I know.
And you watch the dialogue and it's like, it's just like their mouth just going like,
and the gestures that they do, right?
Oh, yeah. Tidus, when he talks, he always loops this. Like, just like, what the hell is this? But I still love that game.
Oh, my God. It's a beautiful game.
Yeah.
Kat, what you been playing?
Grow Up.
Right.
An indie game by not an indie dev with an indie price. Let's put it that way. It's great. I'm enjoying it. I like it better than Grow Home. There's a slight diversity in the gameplay. They've added a few things that cuts the monotony of just like climbing a fucking plant. So far I'm really enjoying it. I'm almost done. I played 10 hours and I would say I'm almost done the main objectives. And then the side objectives, I've done both at 80%. I don't know if I'll finish it completely. At one point I gotta write that freaking review.
That's true.
Honestly, like for $10, I love those games. Grow Home and Grow Up. They're like really good. Just sit down, turn your brain off. And it's not really a puzzle solver. It's really about reaction and just enjoying the environment and enjoying the little funny robot. and all the critters hum. I don't know, you have a fly next to you and it's like, doo, 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 doo. It's just so happy. I love it.
Is it one of those like infectious happy games?
Almost, yeah. But sometimes, I mean, some of the challenges, you have pod challenges where it's basically to survey the planet, the robot has to complete like a parkour thing. And some of them where it's you're gliding, the glider is hard to control because it's based on the low gravity of the planet and you go up and you go down. And sometimes I'm just like, rage quit.
Yeah, it happens. It happens. Me, yeah. I've been playing more Diablo, and my power's been going out. I don't know why. We had some crazy rainstorm last week that cut the power, and ever since then, it's gone out like 4 times. So mobile has been my best friend. So I picked up Pokemon Y again, and I'm trying to finish Severed on my Vita. So yeah,
are you gonna get Moon or Sun for the next Pokemon that's coming out?
I don't know. I really don't know. So it's a hard debate. It really, I don't know. Either could work for me.
Yep. Get one, I'll get the other. And then we can
exactly. Trade. Well, yeah, exactly. That's it. We'll all get it and we'll all trade between the four of us. It'll be awesome. It'll be awesome. All right, crew. Let's talk some news from this week. We got, you know, it's kind of calm. It's like the calm before the storm. You know, this summer stuff, this August, there's been a few games releases, a little bit of news hitting, but nothing too nuts, you know, we can handle. PlayStation Now is coming to PC, which is awesome news, along with the DualShock 4 getting a PC adapter. Now, this I love because I'm a big fan of my DualShock 4 controller. I don't know about you ladies, is it something you'd want to pick up, be able to game on PC on your PlayStation stuff? In it?
I love not my PS4 it? And I love my Vita. I mean, I'm not gonna
jump PC?
To PC. I don't think so.
The only thing I like about it is streaming on my PC is so much more intuitive.
Yeah. No, for sure. It's a lot easier if you plus you can customize, but my PC just doesn't run games as good as my PS4. So
yeah, of course.
That's on me. It's not the technology. Just upgrade my shitty PC.
How about you, Bianca? Would you pick up or download or get to use PlayStation Now in order to play some of those older PlayStation classics?
No, because I still have my PlayStation that still works.
Oh, there you go.
I'm a console gamer. I can't game on PC.
I think this is the problem here. All four of us, I'm pretty sure, are hardcore console gamers, and all our PC gamers are not. Okay, the voice of God just came in. There he is. That's Simon. He's our technical producer. We love him. He's a PC master race guy.
Okay. I'm gaming more and more on PC because I have my own office now.
Yes, it's very pretty.
And it's great, so I'm enjoying hiding in my office and playing games, but I don't want to pick up an extra adapter. Like, the Xbox One is plug and play. I just wish it could connect wirelessly because they're all Bluetooth devices. Why am I buying adapters and connecting?
The new controller that comes with Xbox S is Bluetooth.
Okay. Yeah, I might pick one of those up. Also, I lost one of my, my boyfriend lent one of our Xbox controllers and it never came back.
What? You still have your Shawn one, right?
Yeah, it's here. It's the one I use.
Nice.
Pascal uses the day one edition, but I think I'm going to swap it and hide the day one edition because it's my collector's item.
Yeah, it's one of those things you kind of want to put in a box and never take out again.
Yeah, no, but that's good to know, Bianca. But I'm really, I don't know, if I'm going to play PlayStation games, I might as well play on the PlayStation 4.
There's something about, especially for, I think, all of us spend most of our days on computers, and being able to sit back with a controller in your hand and not be stuck like this is kind of awesome.
Yes, like I've got bad carpal tunnel and I'm a web designer, so my like one hand on the keyboard, one hand on the mouse is how I work. Mm-hmm. So to get relief, I have to play with a controller. That's why even though I game more and more on PC, I still game with a controller. Mm. And like Simon and Pascal look at me and they're just like, no, that
it's okay. As long as you're not playing Overwatch with a Manette like Alice is, then it's okay.
Oh man.
Shots fired.
Don't start nothing now. Don't start nothing. All right. Yeah. We also went on a little journey to the Rabbids Center. Kat, I'm gonna let you give everybody the lowdown on what it is. But Ubisoft launched a really cool new space.
It is. It's basically better version of a Chuck E. Cheese, I guess I would say. It's an amusement. It's basically, it's an amusement center. It's for children 12 and under. There are activities, like there's a play park, there's a ball pit, there's a weird ass sand pit, which was like, it felt like sand, and as soon as you bunch it up, it became Play-Doh. It was fucked up.
Moon sand.
Yes, what? Moon sand.
What? Is that what it's called?
Yeah, moon sand. It's like sand that you can like mold into and it stays together.
Can you get in it or you just play with it? Because if you get in it, there's like some dirt stuff. I would not.
No, they just had it on a table.
Okay. For kids. It's like a pit of moon sand.
No, the ball pit I got in.
I saw that. There I would are not. It's good you get the fruit to get like on the first day. But don't ever go back in there.
No, it was sanitary when we went because it was the opening. Now it's never mind. It's just a
ruined forever.
Bacteria from various kindergartens. So we're done. But yeah, no. So kids wear a bracelet, and they can complete challenges. When they complete challenges, they get points. And instead of like collecting tickets and exchanging it for cheap stuff that was made in China, you exchange it for treats. So like an ice cream cone is 120 points.
So they can keep on being high on sugar and then go back.
Yeah, I was just about to say. It's like
exactly.
Like diabetes, I don't know.
Yeah, so they've got that interactive challenge. Like in the ball pit, there's actually a projector and you have rabbits on them and you have to throw the balls to knock out the rabbits.
Which I got hit in the head with a few times and then laughed.
It's only the first time. After the 10th time, you're just like, watch where you're aiming.
It's not where they're aiming. It was the deflection after they hit it off the wall.
Yeah, it was just, it was war in there. It was not pretty. Those kids were having a ball, though. So basically, that's what it is. It's, they have like three birthday rooms. They know where they're going to audience is. They've got like three huge birthday rooms. There was a VR experience, too, even with a D-box seat, and I didn't do it because I get motion sick, but you did, Leah.
I did. It was pretty awesome. It was like a roller coaster ride, and there was a moment where I was like, okay, I'm in this. Like, it took this turn on this ice shaft and went over water, and I was like, okay, I'm gone.
They even had a fan at your feet blowing wind, like, so you could feel
it. Oh, yeah. So, like, between the whole VR, the D-Box, and the fan in front of you, it was, like, the trifecta of, like, okay, you're in the space now.
Oh, no. As somebody who almost barfed on space tours at Disneyland, I would not do that. No, I have crazy motion sickness, so it's terrible.
Yeah, I think that's why I'm the guinea pig for all the VR, is because I don't. So,
oh my God, no. At the office, it's the opposite. They use me because I get really sick really fast, so they know where to put the kind of motion sickness difficulty level. It's not great.
But then I guess you have to decide before you eat your lunch, is today a testing day?
Oh, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Are you going to ruin my appetite today?
But all in all, it was a great experience.
Yeah, it was nice. We were there for the opening. They had a bunch of, Betty Lou Wolfe was there, the mayor of Pointe-Claire, the managing director of Ubisoft Canada, two people in rabbits costume that were so bulky that they had somebody holding their hands telling them where to go. But whatever. I love rabbits. I thought it was a cool space. Maybe when my niece is old enough, I'll venture there and bring her and just be like, go in the balls. Don't forget to scan your bracelet. Mama wants an ice cream cone.
Oh, I see how this is. You're just doing it for food.
I am. I am completely motivated by food. No hard. So, yeah. So, if you want to see photos and a video of Leah in the ball pit, it's on the website. I'm going to put a link in chat. So, yeah. that was a very fun Saturday afternoon.
It was indeed. All right, we're going to talk about some Deus Ex Go, because not only is it something that Jen worked on, but it's also hot on the news, because it only just came out.
No, exactly.
I played and reviewed it on the site, and Bianca also played and streamed for us. So there's lots of folks here who know lots about the Go games and Deus Ex, and of course we have the resident champion here with us. So Jen, I want to know, what was the inspiration behind Deus Ex Go?
So that again is an interesting story because we don't ever really plan for the Go games.
Okay.
Except Lairkov Go, that's not true. We did actually really want to make it. The story is Hitman Go was the first game at the studio. And it was kind of a wild creative choice, right? It didn't make a lot of sense. When we announced it, people were reacting in all kinds of ways of like, ugh, one, it's a mobile game. Ew, that's super dirty. We don't want any of that because we're addressing a very hardcore target audience. And then when we released it, it kind of completely changed their mindset. They were like, oh, wait, actually, we always keep that. We have a presentation with two screen caps of the announcement on NeoGAF and then the launch day on NeoGAF. And people were playing it and they went like, oh, no, hold on. I get it. Like, I understand the creative choices they made. So it was a very small team. At core, it was two people. So Antoine and Dan working together to pitch the idea internally. How it happened, essentially, just going backtracking to the creative process. As a super small studio, Square Montreal is about 37 people right now, including management. So we work in small cells of 2 to 6 people, and then we scale up for in the middle of production just to kind of accelerate things a little bit. But the way Hitman Go became a thing is it was an idea from an internal team. We went into this switch from AAA games. We were supposed to work on the next Hitman game that came out this year, actually. And there was this shift where IO Interactive took over that project, and we decided to focus our core business on mobile games. But the entire studio had been working on the Hitman franchise for a year. So they were very well aware of the universe and what made sense in a Hitman game and so forth. So the entire studio went into this incubation phase for a while. So everybody was pitching on ideas, like a giant game jam, essentially. And two ideas came out of that. It was Hitman Go and Hitman Sniper, which is a fixed position shooter. It's very canon with the franchise. And it was something inspired by Hitman Sniper Challenge that came out in 2012 as a pre-order for Hitman Absolution. And that's working out really well as well. We just never really talk about it because I mentioned that in an interview recently with The Verge, but Hitman Sniper is the most financially successful game we have. It's such a game that makes sense. Yeah. Nobody talks about it because it's not as editorially crazy, I guess, as Hitman Go and Lairkov Go. It's a game that it's a really good mobile game, but you would expect it on the mobile sphere. Like, it makes sense, but it's not too crazy until you start playing it and then you see the depth of it and so forth. We're not going to get into that. So Hitman Go kind of came out of that as well. It was Dan and Antoine who pitched it. And it was a very cautious first game for us because it was really weird in a way that who would have thought Hitman would have made sense as a board game. But it does. The minute you sit down and you think about all the mechanics and how calculated the Hitman universe is and how you have to think ahead when you play the AAA game. So we pitched it internally and IO loved it. We were founded by 3 IO Interactive people. So they came from Denmark to found the studio in Montreal. And we pitched that to the bigger Square group and everybody was like, oh, well, that's actually pretty smart, right? And the day we announced it, it was I had just arrived on board and it was a very cautious PR announcement because we didn't know how people would react to it. Worst case, we were like, oh, it's all right. It's a mobile game. It's not going to be the end of the world. But we were so proud of it internally, but there was this kind of doubt of, oh, are people going to get it, what we did? Like, we were very humble about the entire thing. And in the end, again, the screen grab from NeoGAF when we released it, people were like, oh, well, no, that's really freaking smart. And people got on board with it, and the reception was amazing. I know Metacritic doesn't really matter for mobile games, but we're all over games right now are above 80, and that's really cool because it means we're kind of answering that need for AAA people going to the mobile verse. Like, we're respecting and paying a tribute to the AAA games and franchises. So Hitman Go happened. And then, of course, everybody was like, okay, what are you going to work on next? And what do you want to do? You have all those Square Enix franchises you can play with. And we're all pretty much the same age at the studio. So we all grew up playing Tomb Raider. And immediately we went like, oh, let's do the Tomb Raider Go game. And it ended up being called Lara Croft Go for the reasons between the most realistic split of the brand and then the most classic Lara Croft with the, if it's shorts, it's classic. If it's pen, it's the realistic one. So we all wanted to do a Tomb Raider game. And then we all were huge fans of the classic Lara Croft and like the more whimsical adventures and like the magical kind of fantasy around it. And so we wanted to bring back the classic Lara and then the classic low poly style universes. And we decided to tackle that art direction and then that entire old Tomb Raider spirit. And you guys also played that one and it was very well received. We got a bunch of awards. And again, it was kind of the same team. So very small scale team. And then again, when it was super successful, people were like, oh, are you going to do us next? Like every franchise was like, we want to play with you guys too, because you're doing an amazing job. And our turnaround in production is from 8 to 12 months. So our games are made very quickly. Well, very quickly for a mobile game, I guess, in comparison with AAA.
Yeah.
But the irony with Deus Ex is in the first few weeks of the release of Hitman Go, GF Zuga, the creative director of Deus Ex, and kind of I did in the other Deus Ex games, came to us and like he said, when are you gonna do Deus Ex? Like Deus Ex Go, that would be amazing. And since the first few days he's been bugging us, wanting us to do Deus Ex Go, and it only happened recently and he was so happy about it. The Eidos people who are located in the other office, so we're about 5 blocks away from each other. Mm-hmm. We kept them in the loop for the entire process and they were really the biggest fans of our entire work from the earliest prototype that looked like nothing. They were like, oh, this is really good. This really celebrates the Deus Ex spirit and we really love it. And so having them and working with them and the writers and the designers and the audio guy was really a good thing for us. But it's something we do for all the Go games because we want them to really pay tribute to the franchise and stuff. But yeah, that's so far it's kind of what happens right at the studio is somebody either has an idea from the bottom and then it goes up to management, or we mutually get excited about something and we make it happen. Nothing comes from the top at the end of the day. We're not being kind of ordered to do stuff. It really has to come from the heart of the studio, which is a fantastic place to be in. And Square has been trusting us with their franchises and just giving us carte blanche for everything we do. And it's a really good sign of respect. And so far it's been very successful. So we're really happy about it in general. So it's a weird place to be in because we get all the creative freedom in the world and those amazing franchises to work with. So it's a good combination that never really happens. I've not ever really heard of that happening in a studio, so we consider ourselves very lucky to be in that position.
It's what I find really interesting about the Go series is it's almost like you've taken the best of mobile, the best of puzzles, and the best from that franchise and mashed it together to make this wonderful thing that is magic on mobile.
Yeah.
What did you guys learn from the process of Lara Croft Go and even Hitman for that matter that you brought into Deus Ex Go that was similar, and then like the big changes that came along with it?
Yeah, so one of the most frequent questions we're asked is they make the assumption that we take the same mechanics and we apply them to the other games, and in reality the way we work is we kind of dismiss everything that worked in the other Go game for a minute, and we just look at the AAA game and we do the reflection backwards, kind of looking at the mechanics and seeing how they would translate to a turn-based mechanic. Like all the stealth, all the augments and Deus Ex kind of work, and you can apply that to any game essentially you could think of. Like we've been joking around about Just Cause or Life is Strange. Life is Strange Go, you could already imagine a bunch of mechanics that would work in a turn-based style, and mechanics that would come out kind of their own nature, like the time control feature where you could do a couple turns and then rewind time. So it's not really, what's great about the Go games is we don't take one recipe and apply it. We just kind of, the idea is to boil every single AAA franchise down to its bare essence And at the end of the day, sure, it's a puzzle game, it's turn-based, but it's they kind of all have their own spirit around it. So that's great. That's great. I'm the one who works on it. And I'm like, that's great. Congratulations, Jen. That's a
good. Well, no, because you spend so much time working on something like this. And like you said yourself, it's like 8 to 12 months, but it's a real intense 8 to 12 months.
Yeah.
You guys definitely do deserve a pat on the back for all the hard work you're doing, because it's not, you know, like that's a feat. And then they keep getting amazing reviews online. I mean, Bianca and I are hooked.
Oh, good.
Keep us hooked. We want more. Give us more. We want more. I'm going to let Bianca ask a few questions now, because I know she's really from the art side of things, and I know where she did the big analysis on Lara Croft Go. I'm sure she's got some, you know, like things that she wants to know when it comes to Deus Ex and how that is fairly different when it comes to the styling. Go ahead, Bianca.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, because just what I noticed, the difference between Lara Croft Go and Deus Ex Go, like, I just lost my train of thought. You put me on the spot.
Oh, good. I'm sorry.
No, just, yeah, okay. So I guess the difference is between all the Goes is that, you know, Hitman Go was very, like, board game-esque, and then Lara Croft Go, like, broadened it to the whole screen, so it's an actual, like, landscape, more squarish, and then Deus Ex is almost like hexagonal / triangular. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So you said it well, in the way that Hitman Go, when you think about the franchise, it's very calculated. It's very slick. And we wanted mostly the game to reminisce you of textures, right? It's something you want to manipulate, because Agent 47 is all about kind of this very classy character, where you would essentially put, if you translate that into Hitman Go, it gives you this kind of high quality object you would showcase, like, in your living room or in your man cave, whatever. Like, it's very cold, it's very slick, and you just want to kind of like admire it for a while. Lara Croft Go, on the other hand, and believe me, we tried putting Lara Croft Go into a board game style approach, and it never worked out, because it's all about animations and dynamism and exploration and adventure. So we needed to open the concept up a bunch, like, to give you this feel of adventure, right? You needed to see a more open-ended path to have her travel around and do all kind of acrobatic movements. So that definitely opened up the environment. And when it comes to Deus Ex, there are multiple reasons why the game looks like the way it does. One, because of the entire fantasy being in the more sci-fi universe. Our interpretation was, when we brought the idea of hacking in there, we really wanted to explore that, so give it a little bit more of a digital feel and kind of this abstract approach. But there is also a purely technical reason behind that. Is, if you look at the levels, the way they generate themselves, and it's not something that's easily noticeable, but everything that's around the core of the puzzle, it's procedurally generated by the system. So it kind of builds random chunks of data floating around, or like, it keeps everything very simple. The reason being, we've been working on the puzzle maker for like day one almost, which is the level editor that's going to come up in a few months. And so the system needs to adjust kind of the way the levels are built to all the content people are going to make. So whenever we allow people to build their levels, it needs to look and feel just as good as if we had made them. So the system is kind of calculating, sorry.
They're coming to get us.
They're coming to get me. That's my favorite thought. So the system is kind of building everything around the core puzzle, and that's why everything is a bit more minimalistic. But it's not because, you know, we didn't feel like it was taking away from the game. It's more fitting again with kind of the spirit of the franchise, because everything's digital, everything is kind of in a hacking perspective. And so from a technical standpoint, it's only because it's going to make one our life easier. And then the players won't see a difference between a user made level and a level made by us, which is fantastic. And it's saving a lot of time and headaches for us to just keep pushing content dynamically. So that's kind of a good art reason and a good tech reason behind it.
We were talking prior to the cast, you know, getting everything going, and we were mentioning the new level editor. Yeah. And also the weekly or once a daily yet weekly levels that are brought into the game. That's a new thing on top of what was in Lara Croft Go. And I think that's really going to push people to jump back into the game further. So when I played Lara Croft Go, I powered through it for a weekend during the time that I was writing the review and then kind of let it go and waited for the next release. Now this gives me a chance to jump back in all the time.
Ooh, I unplugged you.
There you go. I'm back.
She's muted.
Jen, I think something happened. All right. See here now. I think your sound is coming through the microphone on your headset instead of through your computer like it was before.
What about now?
Oh.
Yeah.
Ooh, okay. Technology. Never kick your cables.
No.
Yeah, so that's a great addition to the DXGO, and you said it well again. The challenge we have with having, like, making games for the, even, like, making mobile games for AAA people or hardcore players is they just burn through stuff, and we're, like, such a small team, and it's, I love it. I love the fact that people burn through the content. We have a bunch of players tweeting at us every day that are, like, we want more levels for Hitman Go, for Lara Croft Go. And again, we're such small teams that it takes us forever. Well, it took us forever before to build levels that were super handcrafted. And like Lara Croft Go has such an attention to detail that we made some DLC for it. It took a month. It took 3 months to make a new chapter, and it was not the biggest chapter ever, but it still took us some time. And because that game particularly is very, very crazy and people burn through content and it's great. It's like 5 to 6 hours and then they're done and they're like, we want more. And then we were just finished. And so we're still in sweat and like bleeding from our eyes. And we're like, ugh, okay, we just finished this production and now you're asking us for more. Okay. It's going to happen. Hold on. And then we go back at it and it's crazy. It never ends. But DXGO with the live puzzle feature, it essentially it's kind of like the crossword feature in the New York Post.
Yeah, the newspaper.
Yeah.
That's cool.
So Monday, they're easy because it's Monday. And then gradually when you get to Friday, they get progressively harder. And those levels are all made by us initially until the level editor comes out. And then we can start pushing crazy levels from the community. And that's kind of the goal at the end of the day. But we have a lot of content that's lined up for weeks and weeks and weeks. So that's kind of what we wanted to do is to avoid having a very finite Go experience like Hitman Go and Lara Croft Go were, and really have something that's alive and that people can come back to, essentially.
So real talk now, when are we getting the creative editor?
Ooh. There's a reason why it's taking time. It's because it's really tough to make something that's fun and easy and like also working on mobile, because it's all about very minimalistic UX and you don't want to give people too many options that they get freaked out and they get like a blank page syndrome. So we're really willing. Oh, I feel like everybody froze.
Uh-oh. Yeah, I think you did.
Am I back?
Right. You're back now.
Yeah, okay, good. So no, it's finding the right balance between giving new players accessibility and giving hardcore people challenging features, right? So we don't want to just throw it out there. And we're very, very concerned that we about the quality of the end product. Mm-hmm. So we want it to be just as fun and as smart as the rest of the game. So it's going to take a little bit of time, but it's going to be worth it at the end of the day. Bear with us. We're just a tiny team, guys.
We feel you. But I got even serious real talk. When's the Vita version coming?
Oh, my God. Look at just watch the chat right now. It's probably going to...
Everybody's asking. Everybody's asking.
We're just relaying the question to you, my dear.
So... I love the Vita. If it has to happen, it's gonna happen. No, again, it's always a challenge for us to port stuff because we're such a small team that we want to focus our devs on the most creative task possible. So it's always about finding the right partner and finding the right timing. But if it were just me, I would throw everything right there, right off the bat.
Do you need me and Catherine to come and knock on the door every day of Square Enix Montreal?
You can. You know where we work.
they will kick us out. They'll be like, leave. They'll call the cops. But we will be there every day.
Good. You know a bunch of people who will be very thankful for that.
I'm sure. Did it help the process, the fact that you had Deus Ex Mankind Divided coming out a week later?
We were super lucky about that timing, because if you recall, they got delayed.
So yes.
Initially, even if they had released on their initial release date, we will still have taken as much time as possible for DXGO. But it's been an interesting journey, because people were excited for Mankind Divided, and we were like, oh, we're going to give them something to play in the meantime, right? And Eidos, again, they've been our cheerleaders all the way throughout, and they've been so excited, and they gave us, like, for me, from a marketing and publishing standpoint, they gave us so much support on top of dev support that mm-hmm. it's been just a walk in the park. They're amazing. Their team is so solid, and they're really good at what they do, and it's their franchise, and it's just a cool bunch of people to work with. So it was good timing. It was great. Not that I was happy that it got delayed, but it was kind of cool for our game. So
it's one of those happy accidents.
Yeah.
Yeah, cool. Awesome. Well, we're really stoked to see more that comes out of Deus Ex Go. I'm excited for the creative. Not so much making things. I do creative stuff on my daily experiences in life and work and all that jazz. I want to see what everybody else makes, because I think that's awesome.
Oh, yeah.
I like experiencing everybody's stuff. And I'm really curious to see what you guys end up learning from what other people do with your tool.
Oh, no, exactly, because people always come up with the craziest stuff. If we take back, like, Hitman Sniper as an example, which is the way it works, like, long story short, is it's an established scene, and there's 32 AI on the screen, and they all have their own respective behaviors and walk cycles and logic, and if you kill one of them, it kind of changes the entire scene. So people have been setting up really elaborate master plans to take out their targets. And they found ways to, because it's a leaderboard-based game, they found ways to score amounts of points we had never seen before. And even our QAs were like, what the fuck is happening? Like, people have been finding unfinished nooks on the map to push bodies off of, so they could mm-hmm. have body disposals, and like in places we didn't even know like that was a thing, or like oh we didn't finish the back of that room, and then people are pushing bodies off of that non-existing cliff. They found a bug and they're exploiting it.
That's awesome.
Oh, it's my favorite thing about the game. It's so great when they break it and they find new ways to play with it. So for DXGO, I'm really hoping that we will figure out new kind of ways to progress through the game, or like crazy build-ups, because there's so many things you can do. It's like I'm gonna do a really stretched comparison here, but like in Starcraft, when you had the level editor, you could build all kinds of internal missions, like escort missions or whatever. You could build out of using the mechanics of the whatever props you have. And whoa, my Starcraft knowledge is super bad. Super old and rusty, but like you could set up pylons and then organize this kind of escort mission around your base, and then you can kind of do that in DXGO, meaning that you can protect Adam Jensen with this turn-based walker that will progress. If you set it mm-hmm. up at the right time, you can protect your character, or you need to protect that walker if you want to finish your mission. So it's all kind of logic based, and I'm sure people will find crazy ways to exploit the puzzle mechanics. So it's great. No, I'm really excited about it.
That's going to be fun. Yeah. All right, let's talk about you, my dear. You and some of your extracurricular activities. I know Catherine had some questions about game dev. Drink up, Kat. Go ahead.
Yeah, because actually, Graf, our senior staff writer, met you at a game dev drink up.
Yeah.
Because he's actually studying to be a game dev. So I want to know how you got involved with the Montreal chapter, and why do you think these kinds of events are extremely important?
Because for my job, I travel a lot, right? And the game dev drink up we're going to call it GDDU for the sake of time. It's located in a bunch of different cities across the states and also elsewhere in the world. And I thought it was this really interesting concept where devs from any and all studios could just get together and relax. Like, it's nothing too elaborate. You essentially just show up and drink, and sometimes you have discounts and giveaways and stuff, and it's nothing too crazy. It's just a good way to connect people together. And in Montreal, and in there's it's the first Canadian edition, so there's it's the first Canadian edition. Like, there are a bunch of meetups everywhere, but not under the GDDU banner, which I think is the banner itself is brilliant, because people, when they're traveling, like I've had Ashley from Unity showing up last time. She was in town from San Francisco, and she's like, I was so sad to be missing out on the SF edition of GDDU, and then you guys are hosting it, that's great. And then she met with a bunch of local devs. And in Montreal, there were indie meetups and student meetups and the MGRS, which is a fantastic association, but nothing that was targeting more the AAA devs. And it's crazy because Montreal is the number 5 top game dev city in the world. We had just Ubisoft alone. Oh, it's a cat. Ah,
Dimitri.
Ubisoft alone has 2,500 employees in the Myland. And then you have studios like Eidos and Warner Brothers and EA, Motive, and BioWare, who are located also downtown. And none of us really ever get together to hang out and talk. Right? If you want to hang out with Ubisoft people, you just go to Waverly on, like, in the Myland across their office. But you can eavesdrop on some Ubisoft projects. But, like, officially, there was no actual meetup between AAA people. And I thought that was kind of a missed opportunity. And the GDDU banner kind of gave me that option to get people together and have them connect through the entire group as well. So literally what happened is I sent Jonathan Hawkins an email being like, hey, so there's no GDDU in Canada, what's wrong with that, and can I get it started? And so he gave me access to a Google Doc where I just fill people's names in, and then that's it. That's how I've been authorized to be the Canadian beer of GDDU. But it's great. So far, we get a good turn up. Is that how you say it in English? A good
turnout.
A good turnout of like maybe 30, 40 people per night. So that's good. It's the second Thursday of every month. And I'm at the door, so sometimes just come say hi. You're gonna see me. I'm literally standing in the corner sending people in.
That's awesome. Where do you usually host them?
So we are working with the Nexus Smart Bar on Ontario. They have gaming stations, AC in the summer. That's great because it gets really hot. But you can play a bunch of games. They have PS4s and you can play Steam games, and then they can stream as well. So it's a really nice setup, and they have really, really good cocktails. I was surprised.
Don't they?
They're game themed. Their bartenders are just crazy.
Tony knows his stuff.
Yeah. Really good.
One of their bartender recently won an SAQ award.
Yeah. Which one?
I forget, but they had a mixology competition this summer, and he's the one who won.
Must have been Tony then.
No, it wasn't Tony.
Really?
Weird that I haven't met him in person yet. So I don't know. But no, their drinks are really good. It's good to have events like that, because I'm pretty sure that people within Ubisoft don't know or meet or talk to everybody within Ubisoft, because it's massive. Like I work in the Myland, and it's like, When I get off at Rosemount Metro, I'm just following a bunch of people with like Ubisoft backpacks, We Are Ubisoft t-shirts, Watchdog 2 cat, and I'm just like...
Yeah, the Myland is like a tiny Ubisoft city. It's still so many people. It's crazy. So you can show up. Oh, sorry, my Wi-Fi is like really shitty right now.
It's okay, it's all good.
But no, you just show up and you just give me your name and sign up, and you get 15% off drinks. So far, the best thing we can do, because I'm working much. So We'll figure it out in time. I'll find sponsors locally, I suppose.
Oh yeah, it'll happen. No worries.
You always got it for you. Yeah, you gotta do a few. You get noticed, and then suddenly, like, oh look, these free energy drinks showed up. Okay.
Ooh, t-shirts.
Ooh, what's that one? Nice, indeed.
So the next edition is on September 8th. So come see me. I'm literally standing by the door, so I'm easy to find.
Perfect. And so obviously you say this is more along the lines of for the AAA folks to get together, but you guys don't turn away like us media or
Oh, no, absolutely.
The folks that are working on indies.
No, so we actually have the Ashley from the San Francisco team was telling me that we have the craziest combination of AAA people and indies that she's ever seen. Like usually it's a lot of students, which is fine. Like students should definitely come and mingle. But we have a really healthy, I think I would say literally half and half indies and AAA. And they don't mix up often, which I think is great because indies might inspire AAA people to do things differently. A big fan of those discussions happening. So they might get inspired to just view things a little differently. So that's great. No, we get a really healthy mixed crowd through there. So that's great.
Awesome.
It's great because it's really representative of what Montreal is.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's just a bit of everything. I've worked in the Mile End, worked downtown, lived in Houma. Now I live in Villeray. And every time it's been a different experience. Completely. So I'm pretty sure that when people show up at the GGGUs at Nexus Smart Bar, they're like, holy, what is all these people?
Yeah, exactly. No, it's great. Really happy about it.
All right, let's talk about you and being a woman in the industry. Now, how has it been challenging for you? Now, mind you, you're not a developer. You're on the side of marketing. And how has it been challenging for you as a woman getting involved in video games? And even in some cases, you know, like things like trying to be taken seriously and those kind of adventures that you have to go upon.
Yeah. To be honest with you, so far, I would say that I've been incredibly lucky either at Freema or at Square to be surrounded by people who really trusted me and had no issues with my gender. Or like, again, I guess it's a little due to the fact that I have a massive attitude problem too. So
all right, now you have to explain that. Why did you say that?
I'm a little too brash sometimes when I'm in work mode. I'm not nice. I'm working on it. I'm working on being nicer. But I'm maybe a little too straightforward. But I've been very lucky to be surrounded with amazing people that were open and most of the time incredibly excited to have me on board. Like for the longest time at Square, we were, I think, two women out of like 30 something, which is still a good ratio when you think about it. Because it could have been worse, but no, the team, when they got me on board, I was tremendously lucky to be kind of the go-to person. Again, I was the only one in charge of marketing for the longest period of time, so they didn't really have a choice to listen to me, which was great. But no, I've been very, very lucky, and I didn't encounter any massive hiccup, which again, I understand is not the massive, like the average in the industry. So I considered, I'm repeating myself, but very, very lucky. And even during events, like I'm probably sheltered from a lot of it by the fact that I work at Square and it's a really renowned studio and a renowned group to work for. And I'm sure things could be different. So again, touching wood that it never changes, but I've been taken seriously when the time was right. And again, sometimes it's surprising because I'm a very goofy / foot and mouth person. Like I just mess up all the fucking time and it's fine. I guess it's video games. So I'm very, very lucky about that.
But did you encounter any people being like, oh, you're a woman in game, but you're in marketing? That's typical because that's more of a woman.
That's so there's this thing I deal with, which I think heightens my imposter syndrome is when you do marketing, you're not a part of the dev team. And in some cases it's true. And I've been working, sometimes I meet other marketing people. Not that it makes a difference, but like what's your relationship with the team and what impact does your decisions have? And I met with this indie person in Cologne for Gamescom, and he was doing marketing on a team of three people, and he felt like he was not making a difference because he was in marketing. I'm like, there is no way that your job is completely separate from the dev team. It's another stigma. And it's something I've been fighting against because my job specifically, I'm sitting between Etienne, who is the game designer, and Alex, who is an animator and a level designer, and then Eugene, who is another level character artist and level designer. And we're literally sitting in the middle of it. I understand that some AAA structures have very separate marketing departments like Ubisoft and EA and all those other people, but the kind of indie quotation marks approach we have at SEM makes it so that we're 100% members of the team. And so I do have the imposter syndrome from a dev side, but I don't feel as secluded. So it helps kind of. And yeah, again, it's a crazy circumstance. Like contest of circumstances. Is that an expression in English too? Contest of circumstances?
Yes, it is.
Concours de circonstances.
We have something similar, yeah.
Luck of the draw, I think. Luck of the draw.
Luck of the draw.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the context saves my ass, essentially. And very lucky to be in that position. And I wouldn't do, again, it's something I say often, but I wouldn't do marketing for just any company or any other studio if I don't feel like my job has an impact on making a better game. I wouldn't do it because that's something I need to thrive, essentially. So
what's it like a typical day in the life of a brand manager?
It's a lot of by the book stuff. No, but it's something that's very, very, you need to master everything you're doing. You need to know franchises by heart. And I have some strengths in some franchises, and like I had to learn the Deus Ex universe because Tomb Raider was really my franchise, and Hitman I learned from A to Z because it was the first franchise I've ever worked on. You're not seeing it right now because I took it down yesterday because I'm packing boxes for my move. But I only have one video game poster in Absolution. It's just a suitcase with a bunch of tools of the trade in it. Because Hitman is going to be forever the first major franchise I've worked on. So it's really close to my heart. The games weren't always great. It's fine. Silent Assassin was the best one. But you really need to know the universes through and through. You need to make them yours and understand really the philosophy behind them. And then you can make sure that you build the best game experience out of them possible. It's a lot about knowing where you're going and where you're coming from and then what you want to communicate through the game experience. And thankfully I'm working with devs who also understand that vision, and it's fantastic because they do most of the work. I'm just sitting back and be like, oh guys, this is fantastic, I love it. And then I just no, I'm just kidding, I'm not just a hype woman. But yeah, it's about just knowing your shit essentially and knowing how to best convey it.
And I guess because you're in such a small team, they must frequently use you as a guinea pig.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. And I write a lot of copy, more than I would have ever imagined. Blurbs of text and what's new messages and push notifications. Thankfully though, Nick, who just came on board last year, I've been giving him a lot of that. Like you can take, he's really good at it though. He got amazingly good at it. So I'm really happy about it.
Great. Do you think mobile games are starting to get the same recognition that the console games are?
We're working on it. There's definitely a stigma associated with the platform. But that being said, you reach so many people, so many people. It's a crazy amount of eyeballs that you have on those platforms. And some of them are lapsed gamers. I think I got disconnected again. Okay.
You're there. You're there.
Woo, okay. So it's a lot of people you can reach. And I think as long as you make compelling, high quality experiences, eventually those products are going to shine through. there is plenty of free-to-play games out there for people who are, I don't want to call them creatively lazy, but like some people just want an easy distraction and that's fine. But we thrive to make really more high quality content. So, and I cool. think there's a place for it. That's where I was going.
I know there's a fair number of people in the chat. I'll give them a chance if they have any questions for you, if they can throw them in there. We'll keep track of it while we fill up near, because we're getting near the end of the show here now. Kat and Bianca, I don't know if you have any other questions you want to ask Jen.
Is there going to be Final Fantasy Go?
Ah! Everybody's been joking about that, but you all know I've been working so hard on getting Gex Go out there.
No, we're serious. No. We want the game.
Yeah, that's a serious question.
I cannot infirm or confirm or deny, but no, I mean, we're at a point now where the group definitely trusts us. And if ever that would have to happen, it could happen, but it depends really what the team is inspired to make. And again, as I was saying, the ideas come from the core of the team. So if that's what we want to pitch to the bigger group, then that's what you're gonna do. Stop smiling. You're like, she's talking too much. It's great. No, but
if, I love it.
If ever that's something we wanted to work on, we could pitch it. And then it's all about figuring out what makes sense for the studio. But I'm just saying there's some really exciting stuff that's coming, because we're not forever going to be working on Go games. So keep an eye out. It's going to be great.
We've got Xbox Steinken saying, Gex, did we talk Gex the Gecko?
Yes. the old Crystal Dynamics Gex franchise, yes.
That would be interesting as a mobile game. Puzzles. Oh, if you heard that quack, that was my dog and his dog toy. My apologies. Okay, boy, really? Yeah, he always makes an appearance at some point in the cast.
Always the dog and always my cat. I have a door. I should close it. I have a question. I want to know whose brainchild idea was it to do the Pokemon Go little video thing you guys posted on Twitter with, like, the adaptation of Ash Ketchum doing Hitman Go.
Oh my god.
That shit was hilarious.
Oh my god, we were laughing out loud.
So that was an interesting day for us. It literally took us 2 hours. We found some free of rights models on the Unity store, and we threw them in the engine. So all our games are made in Unity. And it was fairly easy. It took 2 hours to just kind of put them in, tests, cut a video. And it was Pierre and Teddy and Nick and I essentially just spitballing ideas. We're like, oh, this Pokemon Go game, blah, blah, blah. It's going to be funny. Let's just like poke fun, like mutually between Japanese companies. And it was fun. And like, we got a lot of retweets and traction and coverage out of it. But it's something like as a small studio that we like doing. It's very unusual for a bigger structured company, but it was a good day. It was a fun day, but like we could have gotten in trouble.
Oh, well, you did it. What is it they say? Beg for forgiveness instead of asking for permission. There you go. Why not? We've got Grizz World D asks, what franchise would you like to see as a Go?
As a Go game, again, I said Gex Go because that's my go-to joke. But seriously, the more we talk about Life is Strange Go, the more excited I get about it, because there's so much potential in it. Like any other like franchise outside of Square, I would say, I don't know. I really don't know. I've been just doing too many Go games, I think. I'm going to think about it and tweet about it later.
Love it. We will retweet that, guaranteed. Steam Roland said or asks, how would a person who wants to break into the industry start the process? What's the screening process at Square Enix Montreal like?
Oh boy.
Did I see a tweet from you guys the other day saying you're looking for folks?
Oh, we're hiring, like,
there you go. Right now, you know.
Yeah, but the thing is, we're such a small studio that we curate like too much. We're a little crazy on the hiring process, because we hire one person, and it just changes the dynamic completely, right? So we need to make the most careful hires, again, because also often we end up moving people from the States to here. And like Teddy Deef just joined us, which was an amazing result of months of me nagging him to come work for us. But we're really selective. I would suggest starting at a larger scale studio where you have more opportunities and a bit more rotation in the staff. Like Freema was an indie studio, but they were still 400 like employees. So it's independent, but not indie style. But it gives you a lot of potential. Like there are so many studios in Montreal that are more open-ended, like Behavior and Ludia and all those other studios that are more mid-tier. I think they give a shot to more junior people more easily. And if you want to start off right off the bat in a AAA studio, again, it kind of sucks, but you have to know people. I suppose. So that's kind of the challenging part.
Well, that's where the game dev drink up is so important. It all comes full circle.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Because you meet people, and then if you're really passionate about video games and then you want to learn more, they can help you with that. Like I know a bunch of people who are kind of just doing not like literal consulting, but they will give you tips and tricks, hints, and like just to look at your stuff. If you're a writer, find somebody who can help you prototype something. You know, there's always a way.
Sweet. We got one more from Super NES Joe. Is there a different genre you'd like to tackle with future games?
I mean, I would love to do an RPG. I would really love it because RPGs on mobile are so restricted. Again, it's all the constraints of the platform, and I'm a huge RPG fan, and I think it would be amazing. You need to tweet at me like the best, most recent RPGs you've played, because I need to renew my RPG experience. But yeah, I think it would be an interesting genre to bring on mobile, because it's going to be super fucking challenging.
Great. Well, I think that kind of rounds out all the questions. I don't know if you, Kat and Bianca, if you had any left for Jen. You good? You good? Awesome. Well,
chatting away in chat, sorry.
That's all good. It's all good. Everybody's asking the same question. Deus Ex coming to Vita. Yeah. The same question. You're just going to get it over and over again.
They're all the kind of funny best friends. Just
there you go. There you go. Speaking of Deus Ex Go, before we close out the show and get Jen to give all the details and how you can get in contact with her, we're actually going to run a contest for Deus Ex Go on Twitter. Yay! Woo! So yeah, go check out the Girls on Games on Twitter. We're about to launch that now in a few minutes. But not only can you win a copy of Deus Ex Go on either iOS or Android, depending on what phone you have or mobile device, we also have this awesome autograph of Elias Trufexis, who played the wonderful Adam Jensen in the game. So not only do you get a copy of Deus Ex Go, you also get the man's signature, which is really awesome. So yeah, go check that out. That'll be going live in a minute. Pardon?
He also makes the grunts in Deus Ex Go.
He does? All right. So there.
There's no voice acting, just grunts.
The grunts. Well, look, the man has an amazing voice. He could read the telephone book, and I would be very, very pleased. So, you know, there you go. Grunts, that's a good thing, too. That's a good thing, too. Catherine's losing it. Catherine is losing it. I love it. Oh, my. So, yes.
I'm surprised Simo hasn't said anything, because that was oddly, like...
I have nothing to say.
There's a double entendre, and Elias Trufexis is his man crush.
Yeah.
No meetings can be arranged.
Oh my.
Don't even pretend.
Oh, that'd be funny. That would be hilarious. We ran into him at the launch party. He's such a sweet man.
He is.
So yeah, I know Steph, our community manager, is going to put that up now in a few minutes. So yeah, go check us out at the Girls on Games. But before I give you the whole spiel of what's going on with Girls on Games before we head out, Jen, could you please let all these wonderful people know how they can check you out and contact you and tweet at you to make sure that you get Deus Ex Go on Vita?
Oh my God. So I don't know. Probably people can see my name in the screen thingy. It's like Gangster. It's GANKSTRR on Twitter. That's also my username all across the board. Bad decisions were made a couple years ago, and then I registered all those freaking usernames. So it's also my user ID on Steam and on PSN and on Battle.net.
And unfortunately, you can't change your PSN name.
So I'm going to be Gangster forever, and that's from World of Warcraft. So
that's all you can do.
I was that jerk. Yeah, I was that jerk in Stranglethorn Vale ganking people.
I'm a Japanese pop star. My name's AU.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. There you go. That tells you what I was into when I was a kid. Kat, how can people get a hold of you if they want to holler at you?
Well, I recently rebranded and got rid of my stupid Japanese name that used to mean Blue Moon, and now just went with my regular stupid name. So I am CSDESBINS on everything. That's CS Debian. C for Catherine, S for Smith, Debian for Debian. That's me. And no, I won't tell you what the old Japanese name was. You got to find that shit.
Ayo Jetsu.
Oh, small. Yeah. I wanted people to Google that shit.
Bianca, how can people get a hold of you and check out your awesome art videos?
I'm pretty much Miss Bianca Dunk all across the board. Or just Bianca. You'll find me. I'm there.
Love it. We'll be tweeting out everybody's name, of course. And you can track me down at Leah Jewer on everything, except, on some stuff that I can't change my name. I'm a Japanese pop star named Ayumi Hamasaki. Not really. thank you everyone for coming to check us out. Of course, we want to thank Fun.io, our host, wonderful web host. If you're looking for web hosting, VPS, they have an awesome service. Go check them out. We have a wonderful Twitch stream schedule, and we've got some great folks Twitch streaming for us this week. I don't have it up because I'm a terrible host and didn't save the picture. That's my life. Hello. I'll give you all the details right here now. So Kathless is tomorrow at 8 p.m. and she is doing some Ratchet and Clank. Good old Ratchet and Clank. Then we've got Destiny on Wednesday with Miss Allison Space. Miss Bianca is playing some more Final Fantasy X on Thursday. And we have a guest streamer, hello, on Friday. Witchling156 is going to be playing on our channel, and she's going to be playing some wonderful Overwatch. Going to be fun times. I love it. I love it, ladies. Thank you. And of course, if you want to check out some stuff, because we write lots of content, you can go to girlsongames.ca. That's where you can track down the review on Deus Ex Go. You can check out all the pictures and me coming out of a ball pit. I don't know. That could be funny. That could be scary. I don't know. That's on girlsongames.ca. What else we got on there, Kat?
Graf recently reviewed Montreal made indie game The Girl and the Robot. It was actually a kickstarted game in 2013, and the game is out now. So he started playing the game, and his opinion was there, and then he ends and his opinion is just like, I love this. So you gotta read the review to know that roller coaster of emotions.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. So yeah, there's lots of cool stuff hanging out on girlsongames.ca, but we're on social media at The Girls on Games, The Girls on Twitter, on Facebook, Instagram. We started a Snapchat, and sometimes that can be quite humorous. And I know there's Stephanie and Simo are both going to be at Fan Expo this weekend, so I'm sure there's going to be lots of fun stuff coming out of that. Bianca, you're going to be there too, right? Awesome. So yeah, look for those friendly faces on the Snapchat. And that's about it. So thank you all for coming to hang out. This has been wonderful. Jen, thank you. We need to have a drink at the next meetup.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. You can show up.
It's going to happen. It's going to happen.
Are bloggers allowed?
Oh, yeah. The more, the better.
Awesome. Love it. All right. Thank you, Jen. Thank you, Kat. Thank you, Bianca. Thank all of you for coming to hang out with us. And we'll see you again this time next week.
Thanks for all the new followers. We got a lot today.
Thank you, Simon, for being the voice of God, making fun of us for liking consoles and technical producing.
You deserve it.
You know I do. It's all good. It's all good. All right. Have a great night, everybody. We'll see y'all next week.